Om Shanti, good morning. I feel like saying at last the day has come, because we tried to schedule Brother Charlie's class about 3 times, I think. So the moment has arrived and it's great. I don't think Brother Charlie needs an introduction. Everyone knows him, right? But for those who are meeting him first time in person, I think many of them have seen you on YouTube and Zoom, but meeting you in person for the first time, Brother Charlie is one of the original jewels that emerged from the foreign countries. And in the 70s, he took birth in London and has been mentored and coached and sustained by Daddy Jan in Australia, and one of the RC trustees, but also national coordinator for Australia. But apart from all the different roles he plays, I think Charlie Bhai is very much loved because of his very light, loving and gentle nature, and often offers us perspectives to really take Baba's Gyan and feel Baba's love deeply and really bring it into our lives practically. So looking forward to hearing from you, Brother Charlie. Welcome. Those sitting at the back, maybe you want to come a bit more forward so it becomes a more intimate, nice feeling. So those sitting in the back, try and come forward. Thank you.
Om Shanti, good morning. It's so lovely to be here. Who's happy to be back in Madhuban? What a silly question that was. How special is it to be here? And actually, I've been in Shantivan for about 5 or 6 days. And today I drove up the mountain in the early morning. I got a flat tire halfway up. But just coming to Gyan Sarovar, the atmosphere, how sweet is the atmosphere here. And I think we all remember the great mantra of Daddy Jenki. What do Brahmins love? Baba, the Mauli, and Madhuban. And I remember in my early days, Baba often used to say that we would come to Madhuban and then we'd go back to our countries just to work to save money so we could come back to Madhuban again. It was like Madhuban was just in everyone's heart. So it's so wonderful to be here. So this morning, I just thought to share a few thoughts, and there'll be plenty of time for questions or chat. It's often nice just to have a bit of a family chat. But the subject I think we landed on was for Valentine's Day, wasn't it? But what's the Valentine's Day has been and gone, but love being the basis of harmonizing sanskaras. And when I celebrated my 30 years in Gyan with Baba, we were in the Diamond Hall, and Baba asked all the double foreigners who'd been 30 years with Baba to stand up. So Baba gave us long drishti. And then Baba said, set a date for perfection. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? That I'm on this date, I'm going to reach a stage. But it's really Baba's way of having an aim and a focus, because often in Brahman life we just go along, and when we have that real focus, it really gives us that clarity of what I need to aim for. But afterwards, a few of us were saying, well, what really is perfection? What is perfection? What does perfection look like in a practical way? What's the behavior, the attitude, the face of perfection? And in the very next moly, I don't know whether Baba was listening to that conversation, Baba said, love in the heart is the easy method to become complete and perfect. Love in the heart is the easy method to become complete and perfect. And Baba said, perfection is to have loving feelings for everyone. So Baba's definition, perfection, is to have loving feelings for everyone. And then Baba went on, he talked about self-respect. And Baba said, what are the qualifications of self-respect? You will be able to respect everyone. You will be humble. You will be loved by everyone. And you will be loving to everyone. I can remember it so clearly. And then Baba went into great deal. You won't love some, you won't love a few. Perfection is to have loving feelings for everyone. And Baba actually said that to hold the specialty of others in your attitude is that loving feeling. And Baba actually said, when the specialties, the beauty of others is merged in your attitude, they feel that love from you. And then Baba went on, I can remember this muli quite well. Baba went on again and he said that Baba has the most love for the children everywhere. There's not one that Baba doesn't have love for. So in a way, Baba, you know, we know Baba is eternally pure, eternally perfect, but he eternally has loving feelings for all souls. And in a sense, was saying to us, you know, this is really what it means to reach that most elevated state. And Baba said that love in the heart is the foundation of Brahman life. Love in the heart is the foundation of Brahman life. And I, you know, a few years ago, I went to Karachi. I do mention this a bit because it had such an impact on me. And when I went to Kunch Bhavan, which is where the sisters lived for 14 years without any service, just remembrance and gyan, the atmosphere in that building, even though Baba hasn't been there for like, you know, 70 years or whatever, I felt so much love in that building. And it really made me feel that the whole foundation of this organization is the love that Shiv Baba filled in Brahma Baba, the love that Brahma Baba filled in those original jewels, the daddies, and the love that has been filled in us. And then Baba asked some questions, and Baba, after all this, what he was saying, you know, perfection is to have loving feelings for everyone, said, do you have so much love for the Brahman family? Do you have so much love for the Brahman family? Are you loving? Do you feel this is my sister? This is my brother? Do you give belonging to everybody? And in a sense, I think that this love is really the foundation of harmonizing sanskaras. And I really feel that this is the foundation of our life. And when that love is there, it gives birth to that incredibly wonderful feeling of being in harmony. Because, you know, sometimes I have the feeling that peace is my original state. We have known total peace for more than half the cycle. And when we step out of peace, there's such a discomfort inside. Nothing feels quite right. We feel really uncomfortable. But in the same way, I would say harmony is my original state. For half the cycle, I have only known relationships that are completely harmonious and loving. And so when we step out of harmony, there's a real sense of discomfort internally, I would say, really uncomfortable feeling. And how sweet is the feeling of harmony? If you are working with somebody and it's like your sanskaras are dancing together, you know that wonderful feeling? There's no sense of difference, no sense of self-consciousness, thinking, if I say this, what will they think? If I do this, what will they think? You feel so open about being yourself, and your sanskaras are dancing with another soul, or even working in a team. I feel it's one of the sweetest experiences just to work in such a harmonious way. But on the other hand, if there's a clash of sanskaras, if my sanskaras clash with another soul, we all know that feeling. It's a part of life today. But to me, it's not just a clash of sanskaras. It just doesn't feel right. And it's almost like I'm going against my truth. My original truth is to be absolutely harmonious. And when I can't get on with somebody, when there's differences, it's deeper than just conflict. It's like something's not right. I feel I'm going against my truth. And in a sense, I think it's like a feeling of failure. I can't get on with you. Why can't I get on with you? And to rid myself of that responsibility, what do I do? To rid myself of the feeling I've failed in this relationship, I put the responsibility of the failure on you. And so I start to project onto you that actually it's because of your sanskaras and you that I'm not dancing in this really lovely dance of harmony. And so hence the whole culture of blame. And I think a lot of it comes because when we can't get on with others, that real sense of, why can't I, that sense of failure kicks in. And sometimes I think that, our Brahman life is such a journey. I love that metaphor that we're on this amazing journey of self-transformation. And this journey of self-transformation is really takes many steps. And sometimes I think there's the childhood phase, which is really the phase of transforming habits. You know, habits are the things of this life. Habits I've collected, from my family, eating habits, whatever. And they change quite quickly. And then as I'm growing up, it's like a change of nature, I would say. A change of nature. Sometimes I think of nature as like soft sanskaras of the last few lives, a little bit intolerant, impatient, seeing defects. But we're on this journey of change. We change habits, we change nature. And then often we come up against our very deep sanskaras. And I think sometimes from what I've seen, Brahmins, we travel along in Brahman life quite happily, ups and downs here and there, but we can hit a really brick wall in the sense of these deep sanskaras, because sometimes I think, there's been some suppression. The bhakti sanskaras just suppress. So we come in gyan, we change our habits, we change our nature, but we've suppressed our sanskaras, and at some point they often come out with a lot of force. But even then we move through that period to a maturity where we begin to understand how to manage this journey, how to manage this life of self-transformation. That as we go along, things, sanskaras will be triggered and now come out. So just as I have my own personal journey, I think we have a journey in learning about relationships. We've known perfection in relationships for half the cycle. We've lost that. And in a sense, Brahman life is relearning the journey, how to live with others and harmonize sanskaras. And I think there's nothing more hurtful for most Brahmins than conflict. Because as I was saying, it sort of feels like it's going against my truth. It's a really uncomfortable feeling when I really don't get on with others. And for me, I think, how do I know my spirituality? How do I know I've really imbibed Baba's truth and I'm using it in my life? The best indicator for me is the quality of my relationships. And at the end of the cycle, I have the whole spectrum of sanskaras. I have the capacity to be so loving, so caring, so sweet, so kind. But at the other end of the spectrum, I have the capacity to be so sensitive, so easily hurt, so easily upset. And when I come in front of another soul, their face, their vibrations, their words, their behavior trigger what's in me. And I really feel that the Gyani approach to relationships is to feel that others are messengers. They're like a messenger to show me who I am, what is left in my sanskara database, what is really there, because how I respond, sometimes things just emerge, really is revealing to me who I am. They become an instrument to show me who I am. The one with Gyan looks at the self, but the one with Gyan falls into the pattern of the second half of the cycle that I put it back on you and I keep putting it back on you. And sometimes I think, you know, what is the role of the Brahman family? What is the role of the Brahman family? The Brahman family will make me pure. If I live in the heart of the Brahman family over a long period of time and I have good relationships, I know my sanskaras have changed. I know that I've learned how to harmonize sanskaras. But along the way, there will be differences. There will be disharmony. You know, I don't think anyone will go without that experience. Has anyone here gone without that experience? No one's putting up their hand. There will be those feelings that do come. And yet I do think that, you know, how do I respond? How do I respond when disharmony comes? Do I fall back into my old patterns of feeling hurt, feeling upset, feeling disturbed, gossiping, criticizing? It's so easy. It's been my sort of programming for half the cycle. Or do I use Gyan and yoga? Because in a sense, I think on the journey to harmonizing sanskaras, all of us know really what is a harmonious relationship. We've all experienced them. To be loving, kind, sweet, respectful, honest, open. All of us know what a disharmonious relationship is. To be controlling, manipulative, all these sorts of things. But do I realize what is it in me that is creating disharmony in relationships? Because somehow that seems to be often a real blind spot to really be able to see myself clearly and my contribution to sometimes relationships that aren't working well. And for me, I've always felt over the years that it's really my reactions to people that reveal, you know, my own purity or my own ability to harmonize with others. And I often feel that if I reject somebody, if I reject another person, or, you know, if I hold a grudge, or if I give someone, you know, I don't speak to somebody, I don't talk to them, I wipe them out of my, you know, I just don't communicate with them, then I would say it's showing me that I still have Tamo Pradhan Sanskaras, that my Sanskaras are contributing to the disharmony. We seem to be so clear to see what other sanskaras are. But I think as a Brahman, we're interested in what is it in me that contributes to disharmony with others. And so when I hold grudges, I don't speak to people, I reject another person. It's showing me actually I have a lot of disharmonious nature still within me. Or what would I say about tamo sanskaras? I would say when I have a lot of mental criticism for others. Because the more I go on, I feel the fragrance of my mind just permeates the atmosphere. People can feel it. And when I have this sort of mental reactiveness, mental criticism, holding the defects, as Baba said, really love is merging the specialty of others in my attitude. But if I've merged the weaknesses in my attitude, then people don't get that feeling. And hence, I'm still contributing to disharmony. Or I get easily upset. Little things happen and I let them get to me very deeply. So it's like I'm on this journey to harmony. The tamo pradhan sanskaras, the tamo sanskaras, and the rajo sanskaras. I would say rajo sanskaras are preferences. I like you, but I don't like you. I like this behavior, I don't like that behavior. And so observing myself, how do I respond? And often maybe it's part of everything. What are sato sanskaras? How can I know when my nature is naturally going to bring people together, create a sense of family, a sense of homeliness, if I can, harmony? I would say that when I suspend judgment and I offer mercy, when I really have good wishes and pure feelings for others, when I give others the benefit of the doubt, when I can really, if someone makes a mistake, let it go. Because to me, it's almost showing me that I'm on the journey to becoming a pure soul. My reactions to people are revealing my level of purity and hence my capacity to really create a harmonious atmosphere. And I've always been amazed that how one individual can create so much harmony. Dadi Prakashmani, her sanskaras of holding the specialty of everyone in her attitude, she held the whole yajna with her goodwill, and it created so much harmony in such a large group of people. And so, you know, I begin to look at myself and see, well, you know, do I have sanskaras that are contributing to a harmonious atmosphere? And just as we go through our individual journey of self-transformation, we go through this journey, I would say, in learning how to harmonize with others. And when we come to Baba, it's like the honeymoon, right? When we come to the Brahman family. And what an incredible family. To me, that's the Brahman family. What did Baba call us this morning? He said, what do we say? Hunchbacks. And you know, Baba is so amazing. What titles he gives us. He said the stone intellect, the hunchbacks, and ordinary. We look so ordinary. And yet the more I get to know the Brahman family, it is such an extraordinary family. So when we find Baba, it's like I've come home. I've come home. This is where I belong. And in finding Baba, I find this incredible, diverse, and huge divine family. And in this divine family is every imaginable set of sanskaras. It exists in this divine family. And yet when we come, because of the joy of coming home, you know, and finding in my first interaction, I feel I meet all these incredibly sweet and divine beings. And it's just an incredible feeling. And I would say there's instant feeling of harmony, but it's a bit superficial at first because we don't really know each other so deeply. The second phase, I would say, in the journey to harmonizing sanskaras is that differences will emerge. There will be disharmony. It's natural. It's a part of life. We are all different. And sometimes I think of it like the iceberg. You know, as they say, the iceberg has 10% above the water and 90% below. When we first meet people, we see the 10%. We have a superficial interaction. It's sweet. People, you know, the 10%, we present our nature, our external personality. But when you live with people, when you work with people, what happens? The 90% below the surface starts to reveal itself. Is that true? And so the sanskaras start to emerge, and that's when you start to think, oh, what's happening here? So that initial impression maybe changes because the deeper sanskaras will inevitably emerge. And because of that, differences will come. I don't think it's a problem at all. Differences are normal. It's absolutely normal. It's how I react to differences. And I think a lot of us react as we did in the old days, you know, if someone thinks differently, if I see someone's behavior as in my interpretation is not accurate as a Brahmin, I justify criticism. I may have differences or conflict with this person. In my attitude, I may be disapproving of them. All these sorts of reactions begin to happen. So we start with those good wishes, and then as we get to know this normal cycle, and sometimes some feel you are the problem. You know that thing, I get fixated that another individual is the problem. And I think it's a huge learning. For me, one of my biggest learnings interacting with so many in the Brahmin family is to understand how unique and different everyone is. And there was a person in Australia I met once who, he talked about what he called the injection myth. And it's about when we connect or communicate with other people. When we express an idea, we speak, we share. We have an idea that we have thoughts here, and as I speak them, I inject it into your mind and you understand it as I do. Sometimes I think it's like you type up an email in your mind, press the send button, it goes pop into your inbox. It sits in your inbox and you understand it. So you think, oh, I've said what I need to say. And then someone says, I don't agree with that. I don't like that. Or they reject it and you can't understand. To you, it's something absolutely normal, and yet they don't accept it or they disagree with it. Why? Because we forget every single communication goes through so many filters in the other person's mind. It's their mood, it's their past experience, it's their sanskaras, it's their karmic story, it's their perception, it's their depth of jnana. Filter, 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 and they will distort your message according to their perception of reality. And so this is something we have to understand, and why I've realized that the most important thing in relationships is feelings. Because even the words people may disagree with, but when the words are backed or underpinned with love, belonging, respect, then people won't react so much. If they even don't really agree with the language or the words or what you're trying to communicate. And this is why 90% of what we say is really in feelings, or the impact of connecting with others is really to do with our feelings. And so what happens is we come with all these great intentions into the Brahmin family. We have pure feelings to get on with everybody, but differences do emerge, and sometimes quite deep differences. And I think that deeply, and secondly, because they really live Baba's truth. And in a sense, Baba's sanskaras are the model. It's almost like I'm Baba's set of sanskaras are my model that I'm beginning to copy. And as I begin to do that, I'm really able to begin to harmonize with others because a natural detachment comes on in. And in a way, I often feel that that rosary, such different personalities. The first time I came to Madhavan, I met a lot of the daddies. You know, some of them are extrovert. They're really out there, fun-loving. Others are quite introvert. Others are totally jnani and teachers. Others more through, you know, through their actions. Everyone is quite different. And yet, Baba brings 108 together. And because of their renunciation of really what they want and what I like, because Baba is more important than my likes and my needs, I can renounce my old story and merge and work harmoniously with others. The rosary is like the symbol of harmonious sanskaras. But I learned something a few years ago that really has helped me, and I think it was to do with acceptance, that I really feel that how can we start to move into harmony? I would say acceptance of differences. Allow people to be different. We are Brahmins, we follow Srimad, but we are all unique. And beauty is taking the fragrance of each one's uniqueness. And I used to think acceptance was sort of, I should tolerate, I should like, I should approve of behaviors that sometimes I don't feel that comfortable with. But after a while, I began to realize that, in a sense, acceptance is letting go all resistance. Letting go all resistance. If I can use the word letting go againstness in my mind, that's a word I've just made up. Probably doesn't make sense. You know, in your mind, you don't like something, so you create a feeling of against that. I don't like it. And those thoughts and feelings and vibrations are sitting there. And what I began to realize is that sometimes harmony is destroyed when I see a behavior I don't like. And what happens, I build this wall of resistance in my mind. It's a subtle thing. So my mind is full of disapproval, dislike, rejection. It's not right. What does that do? My stage goes down and people don't get a good vibration from me. So disharmony, discord begins to happen. And it's like, because there's so many things out there that perhaps aren't so good, and I keep building this wall of resistance. And I begin to ask myself, why does it happen sometimes that certain people, there's a real resistance inside? And the more I began to observe it, I began to realize it's so easy to be attached to how things should be. I have a perception things should be like this. So if things aren't like this, I have this mental resistance. You should behave in this way. In my perception, this is what proper Brahman behavior is. And when you don't behave like that, I have this resistance in my head. And, you know, how easy is it to resist? It's just, we go along, something happens, this resistance, it affects my state, and people definitely don't get a good vibration. So disharmony, disharmony, and disharmony begins to happen. And it happens almost instantly. Why? Because I have a fixed perception that things should be this way. In Baba's home, in Baba's family, they should be in a certain way. And my attachment to that perception, I think, creates a lot of disharmony. And I began to really reflect on it quite deeply. And once I was, there was one soul that I was feeling, how can I say, some disharmony with. And I could feel that there was some resistance. There was resistance in me whenever that person came in front. And that resistance makes you feel a bit uncomfortable, a bit stressed, a bit tense, a bit negative, all those things, which, as I said, the byproduct is my stage comes down. And one day, I just, in an instant, just thought, what am I resisting? Because I have an expectation of how things should be. And it's like in the Brahman world, we make effort for things to be a certain way. But when they don't happen, we also have the understanding of drama. We accept drama. It is what it is. And I just, in that instant, let go. And I could feel, I felt so light. I couldn't believe how light I felt. And I, it's almost like I released myself from this sense of resistance of how you should be, how things should be. And I just felt completely easy and light inside. And I really, since then, have really practiced, you know, to let go this internal resistance where accepting others. And it means I can still see and I'm still aware of what's good behavior, what's bad behavior, what's appropriate, what's not. But I don't build the wall. I observe it rather than absorb it and build this internal mental disapproval, dislike. It shouldn't be like this. Why is this happening? That sort of mentality, I think, has a massive effect on the harmony in the divine family. And I always remember, you know, how Baba once said that right is right and wrong is wrong, but don't bring it into your feelings. And I think that's what this really means, that we will interact with people all day. Behaviors will be of all types. We're dealing with people with a whole myriad of sanskaras. But where I sort of fall down is when I generate a negative feeling, a critical feeling, a bad feeling, a hurt feeling. Baba's saying, you are aware of it, but just observe it. Don't build the wall, just watch it. Just remain light. And what I feel is that when we can accept and allow people to be who they are, I think that's an incredible gift, you know, to work with other people, because we have to work with each other. You know, I remember once Baba said, Baba will be glorified when the children from all backgrounds, all cultures, all religions, all professions say, my Baba, and people can see that we work together. Look at our world at the moment. How divisive is our world at the moment? It's so divided. And yet, if we can really work together, it's an incredible thing. And so, when we move to that point where we're able to, I think, start to build harmony and accept, I think that we can really move into that stage of perhaps we can call the fashionable term unity in diversity, where there's real harmony, where I can accept differences, I can accept specialties, I can accept uniqueness, I can really work with others and allow other people to have different views of life. They don't have to agree with me. Sometimes we feel if people don't agree with me, we take some offense. I would say that's our body consciousness. People have their own views, their own perceptions, their own understanding of life. That's absolutely normal. And I think it's an incredible journey for us. And one of the things I feel is that what's really important at this time is to be detached. You know, to me, detachment is the virtue for this time we're living in. Living in this world, participating in this world, contributing to this world, but not being influenced by this world. That is such purity. And detachment enables me to deal with people with such a variety of sanskaras, because I don't let it impinge on me. And to me, detachment is really about being very loving, very caring, very close, giving belonging, all of that, but uninfluenced by. It, I feel, is so essential. So when people behave in all different ways, I can accept them. I'm detached. I don't absorb it. And therefore, just my presence and my example is starting to create a more harmonious interaction with others. You've heard Daddy Jenki talk about ha-mani, I think in Hindi, means accept defeat. Harmony means accept defeat. Sometimes we have to be so humble, so humble. You know, there's times where we should state what we feel, but always with love and always with respect. I feel personally that if I need to say something and there's even 2% of a little bit of anger, a little bit of irritation, a little bit of frustration, I wouldn't say it. Because it will affect the other and harmony will be broken. I would only really say things when I'm really in that stage of love and respect. And maybe I'm sounding idealistic, I'm always idealistic. But I feel really at the end of the cycle, I'm going to think back. And I'm going to think, well, how did I do in Brahman life? And I think a lot of our assessment first is, you know, what was my relationship with Baba when I met Baba? And secondly, really, how did I treat others? My account of relationships will really come in front of me. There's a brother in Australia who's a palliative care physician. He deals with people who are dying. And he often says that when people are dying, two things are on their mind. What sort of person was I? And how did I treat others? And I think my account with others, if I've had a really bad relationship, sometimes it happens, but you know, I haven't really worked on myself to bring a lot of transformation, or I've contributed a lot to that negative relationship. We want to really clear that account. And therefore, Baba's way always is to, you know, have this love, have this good wishes, give people the benefit of the doubt, let go and move on. And it takes a lot of spiritual strength. The more power from Baba, I'm able to do that. And one of the words I found really fascinating in Brahman life is the word number wise. Did you ever hear that word before you became to Baba? No, it's one of Baba's unique language. And to me, it speaks to me so deeply. It's not judgmental. Number wise is not judgmental. It's about the reality of eternal existence. We are different. We are all different. And we all have a different capacity. You know, some are so naturally sweet, you know, and others have their own beauty, but not so sweet. Some are so content. They're always just easygoing, content. Some, you know, they're never really very content. They're not content. And we have to deal with them on a daily basis. They're often not so satisfied. You know, some give their bones in service and just do it naturally. Others will do a little bit and want more praise and recognition and respect. We are dancing with so many different types of sanskaras. And it's just so important, I think, to come to that point of accepting difference, letting go this inner resistance to others who perhaps, in my perception, are this or that, and maintaining good wishes. Because what I've learned really is that good wishes are for me. Because if I have bad feelings, can I remember Baba? We all know we can't remember Baba. And so the more I have good wishes, it's like clearing my mental accounts with human soul so I can remember Baba. The more I get stuck, and it's like that, I get stuck in someone's behavior, someone's nature, a situation. It's like all my yoga goes there. And so how important is harmony, and how important is really to create that foundation of what really you know, Baba was saying about love, that really perfection is to have loving feelings for everyone. And so Baba's given us this incredibly high aim. Children live in the world at the end of the cycle, when all imaginable sanskaras are existing, and have loving feelings for everyone. Is it easy to do? Is it easy? Not getting much response out there. We know it's a challenge, but we all know that that's the truth. That's the truth. And so I really do feel that, you know, to really have the aim. And one thing that I think that the daddies often used to talk about is that when I understand this process of harmony, that the more I have good wishes and pure feelings, my mind is like, has the perfume of blessings. It's like you're giving blessings. And what's the law of karma? When you give blessings, you receive blessings. The daddies used to talk so much that when I have a full heart of love and goodwill, most of the time that will come back. And that is a huge power in Brahman life, to keep me enthusiastic, to keep me motivated. But inevitably, there will be some who, no matter what I do, they're perhaps not so happy with me. That's going to happen to most of us too. You know, sometimes I use this little expression that, you know, if you have 100 friends and family and whatever, 99 love you and one hates you, who do you think about? Who do you think about? You get obsessed with this one person who doesn't like you. No matter what you do, they reject you. Why don't we think, isn't it great? 99 people love me. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I think it just shows, because we have this experience of harmony for 2,500 years, of the dance of sanskaras, where we just dance together. And that's why when there's disharmony, it hurts. But it's a part of life. Sometimes it happens, and we really have to learn to accept that even these things happen in drama. Sometimes there's a deep account with some individuals. So we have to understand, we have to put knowledge around it rather than allow emotion to take over and drive my inner world, so that, you know, I don't feel any harmony internally just because of one disharmonious relationship with perhaps one other individual. So I really love this word, number-wise. And number-wise is saying a kingdom is being created. And that's why I think Baba says, you know, there's the rulers and there's, you know, the maids and the servants of the rulers, and there's the royal family and they have their maids and servants, and then there's the subjects. And, you know, in this world, people think, oh, wow, that's so hierarchical and status conscious. But actually, it's a reality of life. We are all different. And I think when we can really deeply accept that each one has their own uniqueness, their own beauty, their own specialty, their own capacity, and if I accept that, I can have peace of mind and work with so many different types of souls. Anyway, I'm going to wind up, and if anyone wants to ask something or make a comment, please feel free. And maybe if you can use the microphone, because, is that okay? Do we have a microphone? Well, if you say, then I'll repeat your question, and then when the microphone comes.
So this is not from this talk. This is from a previous talk that I've heard before. And you said that What has sustained you in the journey of your Brahmin life is the experiences. Because I think one time Baba said that you have to improve your experiences to sustain yourself. And you said the first step is knowledge, the second step is realization, and the 998 steps are experience. So my question was, how do you increase the experiences and how do you sort of quicken the 998 steps, if you like? And sorry, there's one more question.
Oh, can we do that one first? Is that okay? You know, I think I've often shared this, that you know, we have turning points in our Brahman life. You know, you're traveling along and Baba says something that has a really deep impact and perhaps it upgrades your understanding of what needs to be done. And that one turning point was when Baba said, you know the knowledge, you believe the knowledge, you teach the knowledge, but you don't experience the knowledge. And that just hit me so deeply that, in fact, meditation is experiencing the knowledge, converting an intellectual or concept, a theoretical thing, into a feeling and an experience. And that seems to be, you know, an art form we've lost in bhakti. Bhakti is just about knowing and believing. And once I believe, that's it. So that's why people become so fundamentalist. And I think it's a big challenge for all of us to really try to experiment in the laboratory of my mind to create feelings and experiences so that I just don't churn in an intellectual way. Churning, I believe Baba means experience. When he says churn, he means experience. That's what he's saying. Children churn the knowledge means children experience the knowledge. And it's an art form that it's like extracting the juice out of the truth. So I just don't know I'm a soul, I feel it. I just don't know every little accurate intellectual idea about Shiv Baba, but I experience it, I'm converting it. And I think, yeah, this is the work to do experiments, and I do lots of experiments. I have over, you know, the course of my Brahman life. And my favorite experiment, which I've been doing for a long time and I still do, is I feel for me the essence of soul consciousness is the feeling of being incorporeal. The reality of our existence, I'm a non-physical entity. It's incredible. In this huge body is the most minuscule, tiny, conscious, but I'm non-physical. And I find that when you move into the feeling of being non-physical, you are so naturally detached from everything and everyone. You don't have to think, I have to be detached, I shouldn't be influenced, why am I being affected? You are naturally present, engaged, but uninfluenced by. But this is practice. For me, I really believe effort is best to do one thing properly over months. Take one thing and sort of work on it, experiment with it, play with it, write about it, experiment. And carry that experiment into your day. It actually keeps you quite entertained, it has with me. You're entertained because you're experimenting. And one of the incredible things about scientists is that they will experiment thousands of times to get a result. And the feeling, the experience, it takes practice. It's practice fundamentally, I think.
अपने सुकर्मों के बल पर ही पांडव शिव शक्ति सेना की रणभेरी अब फिर बजती है।
Thank you. Can I ask the next question? So yesterday, in yesterday's Murli, Baba said that the Brahmins should take the vrat to have a pure vritti. The feelings should be positive and pure. So it is kind of easy to have that when you are in Madhuban because you are surrounded by that kind of a pure atmosphere. But can you suggest a method to sustain that when we go back into the other world, if you like? You know, when we are surrounded by so much of other thoughts around us, maybe.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, isn't it? Because, you know, I've had this feeling that recently they said there's 8 billion human beings in the world, and science says that in a waking day, it's rough estimate, there's 70,000 thoughts that each human being's pumping. And I'm just imagining there's 8 billion people pumping out thoughts into the thought soup. We live in this thought soup that's influencing us. And when so many of the thoughts are anxiety, depression, worry, fear, it's true, we're used to absorbing, so subconsciously we allow ourselves to be influenced. And it's something we all have to really develop our own self-protection to, in a sense, master the atmosphere in my mind. I can't change the world much, I can send out my vibes, but at least in my mind I'm the master of the atmosphere. And I think we're so vulnerable to atmospheres, people's vibrations, and then we project back on them, but it's actually me. I don't have that sort of capacity to really look after my own mind. And I often think there's three things. There's awareness, attitude, and then atmosphere. So what do we do in the morning? We create an awareness with Baba. You know, we create this fragrance in my mind. My attitude propels that and creates an atmosphere. And in a sense, my duty in my Brahman life is to maintain the awareness throughout the day. Hence, who am I and who do I belong to? That's sort of, when that fundamental fragrance is in my mind, then I don't absorb so much. But once again, because our addiction is to absorb, we keep absorbing, being affected and projecting back on people. But the more we practice, we can take our awareness and therefore our attitude and change the atmosphere. You know, it's just, I think, practice really. It's detachment. It's really detachment. Yeah. I didn't know.
Om Shanti, dear brother Charlie, we love you so much. Thank you, first of all, on this incredible enlightening us on this topic of love and harmony. So my question has three parts. They're all connected. The first one, have you set the date of perfection for yourself? Second question, when is it? And third, how can I and everyone else do it?
Oh. I'm embarrassed to say I haven't set my date. Actually, I've tried a few times, but it just didn't quite happen. So. But you know, I really, to be frank, when Barbara asked us that, a few of us scratched our heads and said, how do you do that, Baba? But what Baba's saying, I really realized, you know how you get into a momentum in your Brahman journey, just go along. You love Baba, you turn up for the Moli, you turn up for meditation, you do your service, you make a little bit, you just sort of go along. Where Baba's really just, and I really began to think Brahma Baba really set a date that he had to be in this stage. So only recently I was thinking about it again, and I love Baba's in a sense criteria for perfection, to live in this huge divine family, to live in this huge world and have loving feelings for everyone, those who love you, those who don't love you, those who respect you, those who don't respect you, those who cooperate, those who don't. That I love that sense, but no, I haven't set my date for perfection. But talking to you or listening to you, I think it's something to do. And what I've been thinking recently too, sometimes, you know, it seems a long way away, but to do a little step, in 2 months I'm really going to shift my attitude to a certain person. And be really, what did Baba say last night? Determination. There's no secret methodologies. I think spiritual power is the determination. You know, once Baba said that, you know, when you have a realization, you sit in meditation, you have such a powerful thought, I need to do this. Baba said at that moment you have maximum power to apply. But what we often do is we say, yes, that's what I need to do. Now, after I finish service and I go to my family and I do this, I'll do it. And when you revisit it a week later, it has no power left. Baba said at that moment of realization, you have maximum power to apply. And you know, when I look at Daddy Jenki, she was so determined, so disciplined. I've seen with a lot of the daddies, Dr. Numa, she's so self-disciplined. You know, if she says, I'm going to have evening meditation, Daddy Jenki, they just do it regardless of what people want them to do. Mostly they will do it, you know. We need that determination. So, you've reminded me to set my date for perfection. And not delay it anymore. But really, I feel we need to have short-term aims in our Brahman life. Otherwise, we go along. We just go along. I believe one of our biggest accounts will be with time. There's going to be a time where I really realize I haven't got long to live. I've known Baba. What did I do with my life? How did I use my time? I think it's going to be... I remember once in the last few Avyakt Molis before Baba stopped coming, he was talking about the two treasures, thoughts and time. And I believe my account with time, I knew God, I knew the truth, I knew, but what did I do? Did I use my time in the most valuable? I think it's going to be a big account for all of us, really. I feel for me anyway.
Om Shanti. Interesting, this morning in Amritvila, or before Amritvila,
the whole topic of setting an aim came up in my mind, and I also felt it's important to think about that and really make it more concrete where I want to go. And also I realized, or I'm aware of, my level of effort has been better at one point, and one of the reasons, not that I'm not doing effort, but this focus and this clarity where I want to go. And one of the reasons, I think, which are a bit draining are when situations are in a way like blocking or not seem to not dissolve over many, many years or a long time. Maybe they shift a little bit, become a bit better here and there, but mainly some fundamental situation doesn't change. And really don't know what else I could contribute or do. And I see there is a connection, or I maybe allow myself to be influenced by that. Maybe I don't have that focus or level of enthusiasm which I could have.
you know, I think this whole thing of situations and personalities building resistance in us, you know, and it sort of slows us down or absorbs our attention because they seem to be blocking service, or personalities seem to block things or whatever, and so it happens. But if I build resistance in myself, it sort of weighs me down. And I remember the last Muli that I was only talking to Brij Mohanbhai the other day, if he remembered this, that Brij Mohanbhai and Nivebhai stood in front of Baba on New Year's Eve, that last Muli. And I remember, I think Nivebhai said, "Baba, there's a lot of things happening in Bharat, situations and, you know, differences, I think, and maybe you could say something." And, you know, Baba said, "Everything's fine." Baba's response was, "Everything's okay." And I think it's like, Baba, it is what it is. Things happen. We just have to keep moving forward and not allow... as I was trying, my understanding or my realization was, I get attached to how things should be. We moralize as that things shouldn't be like this, but they are like this. We can't accept reality, you know. It's happening. And yet I'm fighting it. I'm always saying it shouldn't be happening, it shouldn't be. But it is happening. And it's like saying, well, I have to accept some things I can't change. I just can't change. But it shouldn't slow me down spiritually. I think that's what we have to learn, is that it's the end of the end of the end of the Iron Age. So much is going on in the world. And if I get too caught up in all these side scenes and build resistance and become a little bit over moralistic that things shouldn't be like this, they should be like this, but they're not. And I sometimes just have to accept and keep moving forward in a way and not get stuck. And I think that, you know, what I found is that in terms of COVID, I was really trying to improve my remembrance in COVID, and I really found that if I start the day and think, "Oh, remember Baba," you know what? We all know what happens. You can go hours and realize that you've got so caught up. Not bad, but you've been really absorbed in doing and talking and meeting. But if you just keep saying, "Okay, we're finishing the class now. We're walking to lunch," in that 10 minutes. How much do I remember Baba? Over lunch, how much do I remember Baba? When I walk back to my room and do things, do small chunks, 10 minutes, an hour and a half, and actually you start to see that you're getting somewhere. I feel this sort of... Otherwise, often there's the feeling... You know, when I started, it was mandatory to do a chart. You were like, it was a part of Brahman life, like you're a vegetarian, you do a chart every day. And then Daddy Jenki said, only if it's beneficial, you know, Because if, you know, I get to the end of the day and I think, oh, I didn't remember Baba much, and in my chat I'm always thinking what I'm not rather than what I am. You know, we're always aware that I'm not remembering enough, I'm not practicing self-conscious enough, I'm not this, I'm not that, rather than, you know, really what I am. So it becomes a negative thing, and that's where I think if you just do something achievable, a little bit, next hour, challenge myself, how much can I remember Baba? As I drive somewhere, as I walk somewhere, as I eat, as I meet. These days when I sit in meetings, I really challenge myself, okay, I'm listening to people, but how much can I keep close to Baba, feel close to Baba? I'm not sure I've responded to your question.
You did.
Thank you. So I don't know, it's a few minutes left. If anyone else wants to ask something, you're most welcome. Okay, so we can have some meditation. So let's just have 10 minutes of powerful meditation. And really have that sweet, gentle, determined thought to keep the subtle thread of my intellect with Shiv Baba. And if I wander a little bit, just gently return to those feelings of remembrance. So let's just remember for 10 minutes or so. Thank you.